They know what I'm going to talk about tonight. It was all over Messenger, the vine and the branches, something I studied a while ago, and it interested me to try to understand what he's saying there about the vine and the branches and why he used it. I was going to dig up one of my grapevines because I'm doing away with them anyhow. I was thinking about it, and I went out there a couple hours ago, and I looked at it, and this thing is way out here, and it's got vines running everywhere because I didn't prune it in March because I'm not going to grow grapes anymore. And there wasn't a nary grape cluster on it nowhere, on any of the vines, ever since the tornado. Nothing. So it ain't no good. It don't have any fruit. But anyhow, I didn't. I was like, good grief, this thing is... I don't have a pickup truck anymore, so it's not like I can just throw it in the back of the pickup truck and bring it in. So I didn't do it. But I was going to illustrate, you know, how you trim it and all that kind of stuff. And because if you don't, if you ever look on... Let me pray. Father, I just pray as we... talk about the vine and the branches, as you shared in John chapter 15, that your word becomes true to all of us and that we can understand what you are saying there. And not to fear about it, because it can get scary. It always did with me, particularly the dead branches. I don't like that. So I ask your blessing upon us here, as we follow you, in Christ's name, amen. So anyhow, if you look at vineyards, I've seen them on television, I've seen them live, I guess. Grapevines got to be trained. There's a training that you got to do. It's not, they don't produce grapes just right away anyhow, but you got to train them to what, how you want it to grow. And usually they have a wire going across and they split this vine. And there's one branch that they use. They turn it into a vine and they split it out like that. And it hangs out like that. Then you got branches that come off of that. And then grapes begin to grow on that vine, or on the branch, actually, not the vine. And they try to keep the bottom branches trimmed off. The only the ones you see growing with leaves on them or above the grapes is how they have it. And they have to trim them back so that they grow nice, big, luscious grapes. You know, you go to the grocery store, you see them nice. That's how it's done. And it looks beautiful. But you got to train them. You got to keep them cut back. Even after the grapes are growing on the branch, you've got to trim it back so that the sap doesn't feed a whole bunch of other things, you know, puffed up stuff, you know, this long, because it will. It'll just keep right on growing. A whole mess of branches that don't produce any fruit at all. And then the fruit that it does grow doesn't get very big. And you won't have as many. And so you got to keep that pruned back too. And so it's a job. It's a gardener. It's a lot of work for a gardener to do that. And plus, of course, they fertilize the soil and they do all that to grow those kind of grapes. And it's a process. It really is. And so it is with us as disciples. We have the Father who trains us. Jesus trains us. And he has to cut. He really does. So why did Jesus use this metaphor of the grapevines? And I wanted to share it from out of the Old Testament. And it's kind of, some of the stuff I have to read is kind of sad. Let's go to Psalms 80, verse 8. And then I'm going to have you guys look up some scriptures too. Come on. All right. Let's go down here. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared ground. Huh? Psalms 80, verse 8. And it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade and the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reached far as the sea. Its shoots as far as the river. And so as you notice that, that's Israel. That's Israel. It's that vine. So Israel was the vine and the branches in the Old Testament. Isaiah 5. Verses 1 through 7. The song of the vineyard. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it in the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. And then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. That was Israel. And he's looking for luscious, good grapes. Yeah. Well, he was looking, yeah. There was going to be good grapes and that he's going to be able to make some wine out of it. Yeah. Because that's what his hope is. It's what he wants to see. So let's go to Ezekiel. Let's just go to 19. And it's 10 through 14. Yeah. Your mother was like a vine in your vineyard planted by the water. It was fruitful and full of branches. Because of abundance of water, its branches were strong, fit for a ruler's scepter. It towered high above the thick foliage. Conspicuous for its height and for its many branches, but it was uprooted in fury and thrown to the ground. The east wind made it shrivel. It was stripped of its fruit, its strong branches withered, and fire consumed them. Now it is planted in the desert, in a dry and thirsty land. Fire spread through one of its main branches and consumed its fruit, no strong branches left on it, fit for a ruler's scepter. This is a lament, and it is used to be for a lament. In the message, it said it's kind of like a blues song. Yeah. Okay. Somebody look up, and this is all in the book of John, but if you look up John verse 8 and read verse 12 before we get into chapter 15. Then someone look up John 10, 7, 9, 11, and 14. Kind of read that section. And then John 11, verse 25. Somebody can look that up.
There's no one here named somebody. You got to tell people what their assignment is.
Okay.
It's like if I tell my kids, somebody go get me something.
Yeah, chapter 8, verse 12. Who's going to read that? Hello, it's me.
I got chapter 8, what verse?
Verse 12. Chapter 10.
I got 10.
You got 10?
I can.
Okay.
10,
that's
what?
7, 9, 11, 14. If you read that kind of ahead of time, you'll understand where I'm going there, because it's about Jesus is divine, as we know in John chapter 15, but it's the great I ams of Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 25. And then chapter 14, verse 6. Somebody got that? and then I'll get 15. All right, somebody go ahead and read 8:12.
Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life.
There you go. I am the light of the world. All right, read 10, chapter 10.
11-14?
Yeah.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will leave the sheep because they aren't his and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's merely hired and has no real concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. Just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep.
Yeah.
I think I went
to... No, you did good. That's good. I'm the good shepherd. I am. He's that vine. He is the good shepherd. The one that we want to be attached to. He fights for us. In fact, that's what Israel means. God fights in the Old Testament. But he is the good shepherd. He goes after us. He does what the Father does to the will of the Father. And what he did for the Father, he does, or what the Father did for him, he does for us. That's what he does. All right? 11:25. Yeah, that's cool. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the one has who has eternal life. And that was at the scene where Lazarus, you know, was died and he rose from the dead. Yeah. And so he's the one. He's that vine. All right? And then we got 14 verse 6. Right. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He is that gate. He's that gate that we go through to eternal life, into the kingdom of God, into his ways, into his ways. He's that true vine that we're going to talk about tonight. Okay, and then chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean. I like this. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Even if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's pretty awesome. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so some of the things that stand out to me in this scripture is when he says that when you told his disciples that they already were bearing fruit because of what they heard, the scriptures that they heard or what he shared with them. What is that? What is it that he shared, the message that he shared with his disciples that they believed in, that they were already bearing fruit? What do you think it is? Pardon?
They believed that he was the Son of God.
Yeah.
The gospel, basically.
Yeah. That's right.
But they're the sons of God, forgiven and given the kingdom and known and loved.
Right. Yep. They believed it. And at that time, he said, you are already clean. And you're bearing fruit. And so when one's life gets connected to the vine who believes in Jesus and believes that he is the Son of God, is already at that time bearing fruit. Why is that? There you go. I like that. Yeah. It just instantly begins to happen.
In the abiding.
Right. It's intimacy, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But have you ever noticed that when a person accepts Christ that very day, you know, they're excited and begin to share what happened to them? They're already bearing fruit. They're already sharing that gospel because they're excited about it. You see that? And that's what happens. That's what he's talking about, you know, as being part of the vine. Now, when we get down here, to me, this scripture here is talking about your whole life. It's talking about your whole life. It's kind of hard for me to think that branches are connected to the vine, and which is Jesus Christ, and then they walk away from it and aren't connected to it anymore. Because of the seal of the Holy Spirit, and I struggle with that. There's branches. I mean, it's kind of hard to share that in this metaphor as far as, you know, we come on this earth, we're born on this earth, and does that mean that we're automatically a part of the vine? I don't know what to say about that. Maybe you have something to share about that, Tim. But I know that we're all God's children in the sense of that he created us in his image, and we're on this earth and we're born and we're living here. And yet we have a sinful nature when we're born, and that needs to be changed by us believing in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God. And so, what are the dead branches? Now, one of the things that I seen was you have the 12 disciples, and one of them, Judas Iscariot, was with them. And you know that he betrayed Jesus, and he was in charge of the money. And he ended up betraying Jesus and basically committed suicide out in a field. And so you look at that, and it wasn't because he betrayed Jesus, it wasn't because he committed suicide that he was dead, it's because he didn't believe in Jesus, even though he was with the 12. He followed with the 12 in everything they did, and he was in charge of the money. But the fact of him not believing in Jesus as the Son of God is why he didn't end up with eternal life with him. And so when you look at that, that's the part that is scary to me, because of people who look like they're following Christ. They may go to church, they may know a lot, but they really don't believe in Jesus. And are they bearing fruit? And so we're here, I guess, like fruit inspectors or something. You know, we have this congregation of people that come to church, and it's not that I sit here looking at somebody and seeing if they're bearing fruit or not. It's not really necessarily my goal, and yet it is to a certain extent, because you want people to bear fruit. The Father wants you to bear fruit. And he protects his body by cleaning the branches. The branches on that vine. It's the reason why he prunes it off, because it's cleaning. It's getting rid of the filth that you may have in you, or the hurts you may have in you, or whatever it is that hinders you from producing nice, luscious fruit, is what he wants to cut off. Because it slows us down. It hinders us. We get sort of backed away. I'm not saying you don't bear some fruit. I'm not saying that. But he does want to cut that stuff off so that you can bear luscious, big fruit. So what is the fruit?
You want all of them?
What?
The fruit. The
yeah,
fruit.
Yeah.
In my notes, love is one of them.
Yep.
Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control.
Right. And as you notice that, it's not fruits. It's fruit. That is the whole fruit that he wants to see in each of our lives. Let me read further, because I think the rest of the scripture here kind of explains what he's looking for. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. That's the fruit. That's what it looks like when we love each other as the Father loved Jesus and Jesus loved us, his friends. Disciples were his friends. He no longer called them servants, but his friends, because they knew about the Father's business, about loving each other and keeping his commands of loving each other. And that's the whole realm of producing fruit that the Father wants to see. And not only each other here as a body of Christ, of course it's the body of Christ as a whole, but also, you know, we could go into scriptures about Father going after the lost sheep. And, yeah, the Father loves those people, and he wants us to go after the lost sheep. That's love. That's the fruit he wants to see. And he wants us to care for those people, regardless of what they've done and what they look like and how they act. He wants us to care for them and not to shut them down. Yeah, that's the fruit he wants to see. And if you don't, I mean, basically, you begin to start withering away. You start withering away is what you do. And you got to stay close to the vine. If you notice on grapevines, when they grow grapes, the grapes are close to the vine. It's not hanging way out here on a branch. It stays right there. It's the strongest part. It's the strongest part of the whole plant. It's close to the center. It's not hanging way out here, drooping down. It's back over here, and it's full of luscious fruit. You stay close to the vine, and you remain there. It says to remain there. And some of the reason, I guess, why the Father not even, you know, he keeps that, because it'll just keep on growing. If he keeps that cut back, there's no way it's going to grow fruit out there anyhow. At least me as a gardener doing, you know, gardening in your on your grapevines. And then there's branches that don't bear any fruit. He just cuts them off. That's the part that I don't like. But that's me. But it's a lifespan. It really is. I see this as a whole life span. There's a chance, there's a hope in Jesus Christ. Those branches there that aren't bearing fruit can one day bear fruit. That's the way I feel about it. It's not as cut and dry as what this seems to be to me. Anyhow. I love people. I have hope for them. I've got hope for my neighbors. And I just keep talking to them. I was over at my neighbors today. And they had questions for me. What about abortion? What about this? What about that? And was able to share, you know, my beliefs on it without any condemnation or anything like that. And they basically agreed to it. They were just wondering about it. And you know the news, you know, when you look at the news and what's up on the political realm of things about abortion and about this and that and the other, you know, it's out there. But it was good to talk to them and to be able to share God's love, you know, for people. And that's bearing fruit. Bearing fruit. All of us can do that. You know why? Because you're connected to the vine. You're connected to Jesus. That's it. I'm nothing without him. I'm nothing without him. My soul is worth a tremendous. I agree with that. Every soul out there right now is worth tremendous because Jesus Christ laid down his life. It's worth a lot. Every soul, every person is worth it to say, hey, come follow Jesus. Just come follow Jesus. It's worth a lot. And I know we as a body of believers right here, and we're doing that. I think we are. Sharing his love to others. But not only that, right here. Right here. Praying for one another is showing that love. It's fruit. It's bearing fruit. Seeing people change is bearing fruit. Seeing the Father cutting off some unclean stuff so that it makes them clean. It's bearing fruit. It's very good to see. Very good to see. To see one to flourish in his love. Be excited about being connected to Jesus. Being set free. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I'm still in training. I'll be in training till the day I die as being a disciple. There's phases in life and there's seasons in life that I haven't gone through. And he's with me day in and day out, constantly, all the time, speaking to me and taking me through some of the things that we go through. And he's very helpful, very helpful. Particularly if we remain close to the vine and we're not wandering out somewhere. Yeah. So, that's about all I have tonight on this teaching. If you have any questions.
Can I just have a comment?
Yeah.
If I may. I'm thinking about the vine trusting the cutting.
The branches?
And
yeah.
I'm also thinking, or the surrender that it takes.
Yeah.
Well,
that's
I
right.
The vine is, well, sorry, I'm getting mixed up. The branches trusting that.
Vine.
The gardener's going to cut right.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking of the vines that are cut off. I don't think of them as people like you do. I think of it as like the distractions in my life.
Okay.
Like all the busyness, all the stuff
waste.
That drains me.
Yeah, waste of energy.
Okay, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
And I just have to say this because this is a confession. I really need prayer tonight for this. One of my distractions is social media. Like I realize I'm so lonely. Like I go to that for friendship or like to have some kind of fake friend, you know, like connection or whatever with people. And then it's distracting me. I'm not able to, like I get into that and then I don't get the, you know, and I just get down because then I feel even worse.
Right.
So I would like prayer for that tonight.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's something that needs to be cut off.
Yeah.
Not that I think it's wrong, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it's, but for me, it drains me. It doesn't help me.
Okay.
I'm just being honest.
Two things I was thinking about when you were talking about, you said, as I'm speaking, you have already been cleansed.
Yes.
It reminded me of when he was washing the disciples' feet.
Yeah, Peter.
He said,
yeah.
You've already been cleansed once, you know.
Right.
So this is like, I think of the pruning similar to foot washing.
Okay.
Jesus, it's an ongoing,
yeah,
everyday thing. But also, you know, that lady, Dr. Caroline Leaf, you ever heard of her?
Yeah.
She's a neuroscientist, and I've been on this path with like the synchronies between the book of Genesis and like the Garden of Eden and our bodies and how like the rivers are kind of like the different aorta valves that flow out of our heart,
right,
and things like that. And when you're talking about the vine and the branches, all I could think about was, what are they called? Like inside your brain.
Neuron.
Like they have these, they look
synaptic,
just, they look,
synaptic pathways.
Yes, they look just like a vine and a branch.
Right. Oh, okay.
And I was thinking about how, what if the abiding in me isn't necessarily like, I'm a saved Christian today and then I'm not tomorrow, but
I don't believe that.
The conscious awareness that I'm one with the Father right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I feel like when we become unaware of that or unconscious of that consistently, that's when we like pitter-patter back into the flesh, which is not sin in my eyes, per se, but it is self-reliance on, I don't need the Father anymore. I'm not abiding in the Father. I'm just out here willy-nilly doing my own thing.
Right.
Sometimes accidentally.
Right.
Yeah, accidentally.
It's a meander. It's like a
little, yeah, right.
A little bit.
Kind of.
Time.
Off the path a little bit.
And I was also thinking about how a lot of times when he refers, you have such a heart of, Carl humbles you, but then he also exalts the, like, the loss. Like, there's this like, paradox with you where it's like, you can never feel so low because if you're that low, he's picking you up and he's restoring you. But then if you come in kind of haughty, he has a way to remind you of, like, okay, you know, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about how it's always someone lost. Do you know what I mean? And for someone to be lost first, they had to have been a part of him.
That's true.
And, like, I was thinking about the prodigal son, how, what if, like, all of our lives here, this is our inheritance. This is our blessing and go, and it's really just about a journey back to the Father. You know?
Right. In essence, Adam and Eve.
Right.
So we're just following that.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because it was hard for me to understand everything about it. It's kind of tough. Like I say, it's not that cut and dry, right, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
It's complex.
Yeah. I know sometimes, Carl, I catch myself, like I know I'm walking the path, but I find myself just stepping off the side of the path, and I know when I'm doing it, because the Lord will give me a rebuke, or he'll correct me. He'll go, hey, son, you're off it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You need to come back over here. Step to your left a little bit, or step to your right a little bit.
Right.
You know, I'll just kind of off the path just a hair, and then I get guided right back on.
Right.
And, all of us believers and followers of Christ, and disciples, we're not all perfect, you know, and we all know that.
Yeah.
We can't be hard on ourselves.
I don't think that's necessarily what God is looking for, the Father's looking for. He's looking for fruit.
Yeah.
He's looking for justice. He's looking for love.
Yeah.
Because it's when you get in love with him, then it's going to outweigh this other stuff. It's going to, he wants you to get filled up with that love, so that you're not doing the things that aren't love, if I can put it that way. And that's the life with Jesus. Always pointing people to the Father, always pointing them to that love. I don't really have to say anything about sin. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. And just get, to help people to fall in love with Jesus and what he has done for them. The message, the gospel. That's what it's all about.
I see this passage as being radically about grace.
Yeah.
Because it's not saying, here's what I want you to get busy doing. Produce fruit. It doesn't say that. It says...
Well, he wants fruit.
Yeah, but we can't produce anything.
No, we can't. We're nothing without that, right?
This whole passage to me is saying, I got one job. Receive. As long as I stay connected to his love,
right,
he will produce fruit through me. That's not my work.
Right,
and
right.
I have a genuine doubt about whether it's even my job.
Okay,
to
yeah.
To stay fully connected to him. Because faith is a gift, friends.
Yes, it is. Yes,
it's
it is.
It's not something I make.
Yes,
it's
it is.
I can ask. I can say, God, connect me to you. Give me trust in Jesus. Give me living faith in you. Work faith in me, Father. Work faith in me.
Right.
And if there is faith in me, then my whole life will be gratitude.
Right.
But if I'm just trying to act grateful and be thankful and do Christian things, because I'm a Christian, so I need to do Christian things.
Well, then you're following the other law.
I've got like plastic fruit that I make.
Right, 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 right.
But like, because the real thing is Christ living in and through me. But again, that's not my work either.
Right. I thought about that earlier today.
Is a
yeah.
Gift,
right.
I can ask.
That's what I was getting ready to say. There's a part that we do play into it, and that is ask.
So three times today I said, work faith in me, Father.
Yeah. Right.
Because faith is what Jesus has asked me to do is impossible for me.
Right.
It's not hard.
The power of the Holy Spirit. Ask for the Holy Spirit.
It's not difficult. It's impossible.
It's impossible. That's right.
And so then I'm like, how dare you ask me to do something this hard with my broken heart?
Right.
And then he kind of goes, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you to be helpless and small and weak.
Like me standing up here. Go ahead.
Showed me this the other day, and I was like, I don't know if that's God or if this is just me like playing with this in my mind, but the scripture where he says believe in me, he says that several times in scriptures, but I saw this immediate like whiteboard picture where Jesus was like, I don't want you to believe in me. Like, I believe Sherry's sitting right next to me. He wants me to believe inside of him, inside of his belief.
Right.
So I'm hidden in Jesus' faith.
Right.
And in his belief, which to me is the abiding.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree that...
Just need a podcast.
That fruit should...
What'd you say?
Fruit should be accidental. It should be like a byproduct.
Remember when you used to send me like 5 8-minute audio clips when I was trying to put the girls to sleep at night? And they were all like deep stuff like that?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this girl needs a podcast. So...
Do it.
Sorry to interrupt, Carl.
Go ahead. No, that's fine.
I got something I want to say, Carl.
Yeah.
So back to the love thing, because that's, you know, the vine is, you know, like that's, the closer we get to that, the more we're gonna be able to love. And Jesus said in the scripture, he didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law.
Right.
And said, these two commands, if you do, you will fulfill the whole law of Christ, which is love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love your neighbor
as yourself. Right.
And, you know, if we could just get those two things down, Lord, wouldn't our life be so much better?
Yeah. I can't do this on my own. Agree with that 100%. But
yeah.
I still have a choice.
You're right.
God asks me to go feed my neighbor, and I stand back and I don't listen to him. Yeah. He doesn't want to talk to me anyhow, so what's the use going over there? You know. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
We got Carrie and I have really good neighbors on all directions.
Yeah, good. I do too.
I
do too. Yeah.
The love of the Father, they will have no... I don't want someone out there sharing the gospel who hasn't encountered the love
you
of the Father.
You can't love much
no.
if you haven't been forgiven much.
Right. That's right.
And then you can't trust
That's right.
the Father. So I think in the end all be all, it all boils down to if a person's life isn't producing fruit, which I know for myself with me, when I'm not producing fruit, it's because I'm feeling... ashamed before the Father or distant
okay.
from the Father or
yeah.
it
right.
always goes back to I'm living this way a certain way because of how I'm living inside with the Father.
Right.
Like it's a projection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that.
So you just need to lay your hands on a bunch of people to feel like, you know,
yeah.
encounter what I encountered, you know.
Right. It's cool. Anybody else? Everybody up front here is pretty talkative.
I love how verse 8 says that we can bring him glory just by our dwelling in him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That the fruit that produces brings him great glory. And then I also love in 16 how out of that love and abiding and glory, then he pours out into us and allows us to have the things that we ask for. Like, what a good Father.
Oh, yes.
His love is for us and toward us. And when we can receive and accept that, then he just keeps answering the desires of our heart.
Right.
And it's like, wow, it's just such a beautiful relationship that we get to
yeah.
live in.
That's right. It's awesome. Yep, it's awesome. Anyone else? This was good. I like the open sharing.
What was it about you said about how... Oh, I'm sorry. I just had this thought earlier.
Yeah, that's okay. Good.
Something about all we have to do is believe in him or something. I don't know. I see it different. I see it a little different, but I think it's important.
Oh, okay. Well,
I see it as
in John,
when we turn to him,
yes,
we surrender to him. I don't know what the word is. For me, huh?
Trust and entrusting are the same action.
Okay. Right.
So I, surrender is like, you don't have to command someone to surrender to trust. Trust creates that posture. But anyway, yeah. Sorry.
So when I was 12 and my whole way of coming to Jesus was so wrong. But he was so amazing, like what he did
right.
At the exact moment. Anyway, and then multiple times through my life. But I'm just, you said that when someone turns to the Lord, the first thing they want to do is tell everybody. That wasn't how it was for me.
Okay.
What happened for me is something really deep changed in me.
Yeah.
So like I just couldn't stop singing for days. I just like the inside myself. Like,
right.
This stuff started, like life started coming up in me.
And so you think people couldn't see that?
Huh?
You think people couldn't see that and notice that?
No, I'm sure they, I don't know. I'm talking about is
I think so.
God affected me. I wasn't telling everybody about it, but
I was
coming to life.
Right.
I actually feel like it was a complete.
Yeah. I wouldn't say.
Awareness opened up or something.
Right. I wouldn't say you have to go around tell everybody.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, but
it
that.
Was just, I didn't expect it because of how I'd come for such the wrong reasons. That's another whole story.
Yeah. That's okay.
Anyway, but what I'm getting at is.
But you came to him.
The pushing up of his life, like it's not like I had to believe in him. Suddenly there was this pushing up of his life that I didn't expect and didn't, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
Like. I didn't choose to believe. I just did.
Did, right.
Like it just pushed up. His life starts pushing out and...
Right.
It became part of something. It came into you, basically. You.
I didn't, yeah.
You
didn't
even know it was there. It just showed up, boom.
Like all of a sudden
that's
what age were you?
I think
13,
it was
12.
12,
yeah.
Horrible.
Did you...
Fire and brimstone sermon. If you want to hear the story.
Okay.
It was horrific.
Yeah.
Church. It was horrible.
Was it at Greenwood?
It was horrible. You know the only reason I went up? Has anybody heard this story before?
No, I want to hear it.
The only reason I went up is because this kid, Ralph and Loretta Miller's son, Curtis, who was a year younger than me.
Robert and Loretta.
He had red hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
No one really liked him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was just a little weird.
Right.
So I don't know where he is now, okay? So he was
he's doing
in front
well.
Of me, and this, right? This is horrible. This is so horrible of me. So horrible. Oh my goodness, this is so horrible. So I saw him go up because they sang "Just as I Am" for I don't know how
long. Oh yeah.
Time.
Yep. Yep. Been there.
So I saw him go up. I was like, oh.
I was probably there.
I gotta go up. So I go up and I pray, and when I pray. Something, God just did something I did not expect. Like, I felt it was totally Him. Like, I didn't even know what I was doing. It was
I guess I'll share my experience when I was 13.
I
understand.
No, I wish. But,
But it changed, though.
Something opened up. I understood things, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there was, it was on a
but
Wednesday
I didn't
night.
Try.
No, I understand what you're saying.
I just did it out of fear, honestly.
Like yeah.
Social fear and fear of that fire and brimstone, you know.
I probably had
I actually lived for a long time.
Fear, too.
Because of how my grandpa preached.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never going to make it past 12 because I thought the whole world was going to end.
Right.
Did it?
No.
Are we really here?
Oh.
That was good. That was good. But see... But God used it. He
pushes up his life.
Yeah.
When you turn to him, he starts pushing up his life.
Yeah.
And you stay close to him, and he's, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
You get way out there. Woo.
Yeah.
That's
right.
But even then, sometimes.
Yeah, how has he had mercy on me all these 40 years?
He's persistently in pursuit.
I mean, I'm 52, and most of those
he's loaded.
Wandering in a desert.
He loves us. That's how much he loves us.
Most of us would be dead if he didn't know how to grab us, pull us off the ground.
Yeah, that's right.
I would.
So he pursues us with his life.
Oh, yeah, most certainly.
I can tell you right now.
That's the only way we could be here today is that he pursues us.
When I came back to the Lord,
he seeks us.
Yeah. Like, I can tell you, I felt like shackles, like chains, literally, physically fell off.
Right.
And I'm just thankful for my wife dragging my behind the church. Because this is where I needed to be.
Yeah.
So, and then you all the nights of me and her riding in the truck talking about Jesus just kind of like did.
All right.
It just helped.
No, it was a prayer meeting night that I went. I usually didn't go because my parents didn't. My dad was hard of hearing, basically deaf, and he just couldn't hear anything, you know, what people were saying. So it was kind of like, what's the point going? But he went Sundays. But anyhow, my brother Menno invited me to go Wednesday night, so they took me. And I'm sitting in the back, and Ivan Miller. And he had devotions. And then he excused the youth that were going to have instruction class with John Mishler. And so all of a sudden I had this vision. And they were going to heaven, right up to heaven, and I wasn't. That's the vision that I had. And so I was like, man, I got to get this straightened out. And so I met with John Mishler up in the balcony, and he shared scripture, and I prayed, and he prayed, and I was settled that that was cleared up. Now, did I always follow like I should? No. But he was still with me. I'm like, when I look back.
I would go out and party, and then
before
I went to bed, I'd be like, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Because that's Pentecostals.
Yeah.
If you didn't pray.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You died in your sleep.
You died in your sleep, man. You was done.
Yeah. I know what you mean, because when I was out there and I was doing that heavy stuff, I would literally pray every night before I fell asleep, Lord, please, forgive me, and if I die, take my soul with you.
Yeah.
That
was one of them children prayers, wasn't it?
We rebuke that.
Quick, fast, later.
Bring a medium around.
I related. I went to a Marilyn Manson concert, and I was wearing combat boots and a dress. I was wearing combat boots and a dress.
Marilyn Manson? Is he the guy who took out ribs?
I was taking.
No.
Uppers and drinking wine.
Oh, Lord.
And wearing a dress and combat boots, and it's 3 a.m. and I've snuck out the house to go to a Marilyn Manson concert.
And he stands
up there and he says, some of you, your youth pastors didn't want you to be here tonight. What do you have to say to them? And the whole group says F you in unison, like angrily, and shouts it. Some of your parents didn't want you to be here. What do you have to say? And the whole group's like, F you. And I'm like, what's wrong with y'all? I love my parents. I love my youth pastors. And then he like comes to the top of the stairs. And he rips a single page out of a Bible. You know how the Bible has that fine paper? And he lets it drop. And it goes waving down. And the mosh pit like eats it. And I'm standing there in my combat boots and my dress. And here's what I say. I'm not cool with all that.
No, that don't mean he didn't.
So I totally relate to y'all. Yeah. It's the same standards.
Yeah.
There's certain lines you just...
Like, just because I'm totally lost the path doesn't mean I don't know Jesus.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Right.
If you ask me, I'll tell you he's not real when it's inconvenient.
See, I can relate to Sherry because that's what mine was. The fire and brimstone is like, you walk out to the building today, where are you going? You going, the car can hit you, and you going to hell. And I'm like... probably right. I was scared to death, and I gave my heart to the Lord.
I'm ready.
If I walk out the door, I'm good to go.
They didn't think you sinned by the time they were in the sermon.
You did.
They got convinced.
Yeah.
I left that. I'm not going back.
I'm curious. Who was the preacher? You remember?
No clue. Somebody from Ohio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't know.
It might have been the guy you mentioned. I don't know.
I can tell you right now.
I don't know. Was it Andrew Jancy? Was it?
I don't think so.
Not Elmer Jancy. Andrew Jancy.
I think Josh.
Well, Andrew Jancy was a fire and brimstone.
Yes, he does.
He was an evangelist. He had tent meetings everywhere.
And he thinks that.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, I don't know. I don't remember. Of course, I don't know where I was because I'm older than you quite a bit. Yeah.
He's like, I'm old.
Oh, well, I'm 57.
Bingo.
Not too bad. Born in 57. She said, no, what'd you say? You're 52. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'm 66. No, a little bit older than that. Do what?
I feel like we got some brain to do.
Yeah, we do. We do. I my thoughts were just get together and love each other with prayer. Love each other with prayer. Yeah. Whatever the Lord brings to you. Couple up. Get together and pray. Maybe you got prayer requests. Do you have prayer requests? Hey, all right.
Because I don't think I'm the only one.
Or television. But, yeah. All right. There you go. Anybody else?
Financial provision. Bitterness.
Bitterness?
Dang,
okay.
A lot of bitterness lately.
Okay, you two got, you come up and stand up here so that people can line up. Bitterness, social media. Someone else has. What is yours?
Bitterness. I have not.
No.
I'm not
for
that.
And anger. You're. Okay.
And wrath.
Huh?
Anger.
Anger. Okay. All right.
Where are the people who want to trust Jesus more? Where I go?
Yeah.